Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to go ahead and start our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. And we just pray that you would help us to be a blessing, encouragement to people, help us point people to Christ, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to wish Merry Christmas to everybody. This is our program before Christmas, and I just wanted to point out some of our longtime listeners you've been listening over the years. Normally, on the Sunday night prior to Christmas, we do our reading of the Christmas story, the account of Christmas, or I should say the birth of Christ, from the Bible, and that comes from a reading that we use at our church. We started it when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands many years ago, back in the 1990s, and we've added to it and worked on it and tweaked it over the years and come up with this reading, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. And I'm taking a break from my usual Sunday before because this year Christmas is on a Friday. And for those of you who hear our station here, AM 1220, The Word, here in Independence, Ohio, I'm going to be reading that on our Friday program. That's this Friday, Christmas Day. If you're not here in the area where you can listen to 1220, you can go online. You can listen to it online. You can always, if you have trouble tuning in the station, if sometimes due to the weather or something like that, it's hard to get the station or a clear signal, you can always listen online. And let me give you the station website here. It's whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And you can listen online Friday at 1:30 in the afternoon. That's Friday at 1:30 in the afternoon, our Christmas program, where I will be reading The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. And basically what it is, it's a compilation of verses. It actually starts in the book of Isaiah, and it moves to Micah, back to Isaiah, then to Luke. From Luke it goes to Galatians, then John, and then Matthew, back to Luke, over to Hebrews, back to Matthew, back to Luke. And then finally it winds up in 1 Timothy. And all of those verses are put together, no added commentary, no added words of any kind. It's just a taking of the prophecies of the birth of Christ through the announcements of the birth of Christ to Mary and to Joseph and all, and then the actual birth of Christ up until Jesus was about 12 years old in the temple, and I think it'll be a blessing to you if you want to tune in and go online and hear that. If you are in an area where you don't hear the local station, you can go online, whkwradio.com. If you have any questions at all, you can always visit our website at livewithpastoral.com, livewithpastoral.com. In addition to past programs, I try to have links there to various things, and I believe we have a link there to the radio program, the radio station, and you can listen on Friday afternoon, this Christmas Day, as I read through The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. And also like to point out to you, if you'd like a copy of that, and you're able to go online, if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, at livewithpastoral.com, you can find a link to this reading. I published it as an ebook a few years back, and it's free. It's nothing but the King James Bible verses put together in a readable fashion, and I couldn't see charging for that. Certainly couldn't see making a profit off from that. So it's available free, and our Christmas gift to you. All you have to do is go online and download it. If you're unable to do that, and you would like a copy and you have no other way to get a copy, if you send us a note at, let me see, I give our post office box, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, zip code 44286. That's post office box 452 in Richfield, Ohio, and the zip code is 44286. We can arrange to get you a copy of that sent to you as well. I can at least print something out and send it to you. But if you're online, you can download an e-copy. Just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. I encourage you to check that out. It's a great devotion, and for your family or for even for your church. I've had some people that have taken that copy of that to use in their church. We'll be reading that. If you're in Northeast Ohio, and you want to join us this Thursday night, our Christmas Eve candlelight service at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll be meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's right where Interstate 80, which is the Ohio Turnpike, intersects with Interstate 77, midway between Akron and Cleveland. Very easy to get to. And at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, this Thursday night, we'll also be reading the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures, and we'll be singing some Christmas songs and enjoy some light refreshments afterwards. So let me invite you to come there. If you're not doing anything with your church, if you don't have anything planned with your family, let me invite you to come out and get away from some of the hustle and bustle of all the things going on here as we get ready for Christmas, and just take a few moments to get with some fellow believers and take some time to remember exactly what it is that we celebrated this season, the birth of Christ, and it's recorded for us in the Word of God. So let me invite you there. And again, like I said, you can find out all this information at livewithpastoral.com or our Facebook page. You can connect there from our website, and you can find us on Facebook there, livewithpastoral.com. Well, again, as I said, this is a Live with Pastor Al, or Late Night Live with Pastor Al tonight, and you can call toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we have Lisa calling in tonight, and Lisa, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi, good evening.
I was just wondering what you thought of if the Lord puts up and puts down kings and princes or whatever, is it right for a Christian to call the leader in the White House names?
Well, you know, I think we're supposed to be respectful of those who are in authority. I believe that the Bible admonishes us to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And I understand why people do, and, you know, especially if somebody's in office that their political beliefs are the opposite of what yours are, or if you feel that they're definitely a threat to our nation's security and safety and they're ruining the country, you can see where people are attempted to do that, but it doesn't always make things right to call people names and insult people. Let me turn over here to passage in, let's go over to Romans first here in Romans chapter number 13, I believe is where I want to go to. Let me get a chance to turn over there. And, we have political leaders, and we got to understand that not all political leaders are going to be godly leaders, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And we should pray for them. At our church, every Sunday, and every Wednesday, we pray for the salvation of our president. It would certainly make a big difference if he would trust Christ as his Savior and get into the Bible and begin to allow God to direct him in the things that he does. Now, he is somebody who does things quite contrary to the Bible. He is somebody who seems to have a very definite antipathy towards Christians, and seems to certainly favor Muslims in many cases. And I personally view him as a threat to our country. But at the same time, he's in that position. So what do we do about it? I mean, do we insult him and call him names, or do we pray for him and try to resist the bad things that he does, and try to do what we can to motivate people to stand up in the Congress, to stand up in the courts, to stand up in the states to defeat the things? You know, we live in a constitutional republic that operates by democratic means, and so with that, we have a unique opportunity as individual Christians to be able to oppose those who are in power without having necessarily to call them names and mock them in that sense. And we can still pray for them, but we have the liberty that we can say what they're doing is completely wrong. I mean, I have no problem coming on the radio, and I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. I mean, I served in the United States Air Force, and one of the things that we did is to help preserve the freedom that you and I have to be on the air right now. I can come on the air with no fear that I'm going to be arrested or have, you know, the station shut down that we're on because I say that I believe that President Obama is a Muslim in the White House. You know, I can say that. We have freedom of speech.
So far.
Yeah, so far. And so far as we have that, we should use that as an opportunity to point out the error, point out the danger, point out what's going on. But we don't have to descend, I don't think, into name-calling and insulting and all. That, to me, smacks of, you know, grade school, schoolyard tactics.
Yeah.
And I understand why some people do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's just easier to do it that way, as opposed to really take a look at the things that they're doing. For instance, you know, talking about Muslim, for instance, we see the budget bill that was passed by, and I'm a Republican. I don't have any problem admitting that. I vote Republican generally, and I'm a Republican. I work the elections, and I serve as a Republican during the elections to oversee the elections. That's one of the ways I do to try and make a difference. And but at the same time, I look at the Speaker of the House, and I look at this bill that they passed, and I feel perfectly free to say, I think they made a tremendous mistake. I think they caved to the Democrats. I think they caved to President Obama. I think they funded things like Planned Parenthood that never should have been funded. I have no problem saying that, because right now, like you said, for the moment, we have the freedom to do that.
I believe that, too, but the thing is, what worries me is that the Lord says, I put up and I put down.
Yes, he does.
Either your blessing or your punishment. So I think sometimes the Lord is going to punish us because us Christians are so lukewarm, not doing our part.
Oh, yeah. We get the rulers that we deserve sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the mercy of God is that we don't get the rulers that we deserve. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And, you know, you look at some really horrible kings that Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom, had. And yet they were still kings that God dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
As legitimate rulers. And I know some people try to say, well, they're not legitimate unless they're perfectly lined up with God's will. And no, that's not the case. King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king that destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the first temple, the Bible calls him God's servant because God used him in judgment against the Jewish people who had turned away from God. And just like during the book of Judges, if you read through Judges, there are people who got comfortable, they got at ease in Zion, and they forgot God. They turned to idols and things. And God raised up the Moabites. He raised up the Philistines. He raised up this group and that group. And they came against the Jewish people, and they had victory over them. And it caused the Jewish people to repent and turn back to God. And then he raised up a judge that would defeat the enemies. And even, like I said, with Nebuchadnezzar, 70 years later, the Jewish people had repented, and they were able to go back into the land, and they were pretty much cured of their idolatry from that point on. I mean, the Jewish people, after they came back into the land, had a lot of problems, but generally speaking, idolatry wasn't one of them. And today, we see good rulers and evil rulers rise up. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, as the Bible says, the people mourn, and people are mourning today because the wicked bear rule. And what this should do is get our attention that we as a nation ought to turn back to God. When we see wicked rulers, when we see people who are immoral, people who are liars, people who are opposed to the Bible, people who have the spirit of Antichrist about them, when we see them gain power, whether as a president or even in the Congress, the House, the Senate, in the courts or the governors of our states or the state houses, even down to our county government officials, our local township, village, and city officials, mayors and things like that, when we see wicked people coming into those positions, one of the first things believers ought to do is turn back to God and say, Lord, why are you allowing these people to rule over us? And a lot of times, God's people got to do some serious repenting.
I know. I think that's the key. Also, when you're saying that, I see what you think of this, that it seems like the Christians actually voted this guy in because they wouldn't vote for a Mormon. And I think that we're supposed to choose the best one out of the two, but Muslims don't want to do that. So,
well, exactly.
I think that's not wise, is it, to you?
No, and a lot of Christians did not vote.
Right.
And that's wrong. You know, I look at it this way. If Christians could vote for a Catholic, because many of the people who would not vote for Romney because he was a Mormon, mm-hmm. were backing Rick Santorum in the primaries against Romney, because if you recall, Rick Santorum was really the most conservative one of the mm-hmm. two,
and
he didn't make it, unfortunately. I had supported other people, but by the time it came down to the end, I was in the Rick Santorum camp myself because mm-hmm. he was the more conservative of the two. And it just it boggles my mind that a Bible-believing Christian would be willing to vote for a Roman Catholic and then balk at voting for a Mormon. Certainly when you look at what the alternative was, it put a essentially a leftist Muslim back into the office for a second term, and one could have easily made the argument, and people did, we did, that the alternative was, you know, having him in there was a lot worse than the alternative of having a conservative Mormon in the office.
Some of the head leaders, I don't know if I should name names. But
that's okay. We have the freedom to do that. I don't have any problem with that.
Well, Dobson.
Yes.
He was one. And then a guy comes on your station. Well, Ernie Sanders sometimes bothers mm-hmm. me. He calls him abomination all the time. But he never, ever says that we must pray for him and pray for him on his radio station he should be doing, instead of calling him abomination all the time. And, you know, like you say, he's doing everything wrong, and he is a Muslim, and I believe he's sticking up for every Muslim there is, myself. I think he's doing that. But instead of, like you say, praying for him and making the Christians get right with God, he said he can heal our land if we would do that.
Well, and that's true. So, you know, I look at it. My responsibility is first and foremost to preach the gospel and promote, the word of God and try to point people to the Lord so that people get saved and then live their lives as believers according to God's word. And part of that is trying to be salt and light in the world around us. And I readily admit there's a lot more that I could do personally, but at the same time, you know, people, you can only do what you can do sometimes. You're limited sometimes with other things as to what you can do. And, you know, I appreciate anybody that's trying to make a difference. And while we can disagree with people, at the same time, like I said, I support the right of people to be able to get on the radio and say what they think. But like we're talking, I think that we ought to do it with some degree of decorum, some degree of you know, righteous speaking, not just to speaking the truth in anger. The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God hates sin, and we understand that. The things that people do, it's an abomination. It stinks in before a holy God. But at the same time, you know, think about it. We're celebrating Christmas, and what did Jesus do? He took the form of a man, and he lived amongst sinful, filthy, morally repugnant people. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, Mary was a righteous woman. The Bible talks about Mary and Joseph as being righteous and trying to do right, but they still were sinners. And even if Mary and Joseph were trying to do right and live a holy life, people around them, where Jesus grew up as an infant and a toddler and a small child, people around them were not doing the right thing all the time. You know, you think about what happens in the community around us, and there's always going to be somebody that you know, the neighborhood knows that person is just a horrible person, or this person over here is an angry person, this person's a profane person, this person over here is a liar. And Jesus grew up as a boy living amongst people like that, as a holy God, and did not strike them dead. And then as people, when he went to the cross, remember, and he was being crucified, people were mocking Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. And what did he say to them? Oh, I'm going to smite you down. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to take pleasure throwing you into hell. Did he say that? No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right. Well, I got you, Pastor. What do you think of Donald Trump? He worries me. How about you?
Yeah, Donald Trump, my theory with Donald Trump is he's got a great research firm that found out everything that he should say if he wanted to win the presidency.
I think that's how I feel.
The positions that he holds today, a year ago, he did not hold for the most part.
He has no record.
How come they don't see that? Yeah. People only see what's happened in the last five minutes, I think, sometimes. Oh. Rafael Cruz, who is the father of Senator Ted Cruz, who's running for president as well, I've heard him speak in the area a couple of times, and he makes a great point that we ought to remember when we're looking at people like Donald Trump. Look at their record instead of listen to their rhetoric.
Yeah.
And right now, people are listening to the rhetoric, mm-hmm. and they're not looking at the record. The record shows a completely different person than the rhetoric suggests.
And now, just like we voted Obama in, we're just listening to the rhetoric, and they're not looking mm-hmm. at the same thing as this.
I mean, is there hope that he may have had a genuine experience where his eyes were open to the danger that's going on in the country? I mean, we can hope for that. Would he be better? Perhaps than Hillary or whoever the Democrats run. I think probably, but we don't know that. I think we should be looking for somebody whose rhetoric and record match up.
Yeah.
And I think we ought to be looking for somebody who's a godly individual. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Moses was given great advice by his father-in-law to select out righteous men. People who I'll have to turn there in the next segment. We're running out of time here, but there's a great pattern given, and also in Acts chapter 6, I believe it is, where they select the first deacons. You know, there's an excellent set of qualifications that we ought to consider when it comes time to select elected officials. And I really do believe that people looked at these qualifications. Let me just give the one in Acts chapter 6, since I'm right there. He says in verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, those are for deacons serving in that first church. But what if we look for people that match those qualifications that we as believers could support and get behind? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have, even if we just had people full of honest report? That would solve a lot of the problems, wouldn't it, that we have? People who have wisdom, I mean, those would be wonderful characteristics in elected officials. And unfortunately, but we seem to elect everything but these things.
Yeah, well, and sometimes Christians, Pastor, they want a perfect man. And if they can't get a perfect
man,
they
won't
vote.
Yeah.
They won't vote, and then we get exactly. the worst one in.
And, and that's something that we have to look at. And I've tried to explain this to people, is you have to see what your vote is going to result in. If your vote results in somebody getting in office that is going to further the cause of the abortion industry, somebody who is going to further the cause of special rights for the homosexual community, if it's going to further the cause of the Islamification of America, if it's going to further curtail the rights of Americans and Christian Americans in particular, if your vote, even though you vote, let's say, for a third party candidate, helps put in the person that's going to be, contrary to your views, then are you really helping by voting that third party? Because generally the third party vote, not all the time, there are exceptions, but generally, for instance, a third party vote hurts the party or the candidate whose beliefs are most similar. And helps put in the ones who are most dissimilar. And because people would not vote for Romney, they helped Obama get a second term. And had they gone out and voted for him in mass and encouraged other people to do, we would be nearing the end of the first term of a Romney administration, which, even though Romney was not my first choice, I know I'm running out of time here, he would have at least been much more pro-life than what our current administration is. And he would have been stronger in national defense than what our current administration is. He would have been far preferable to what we have now. Hey, I want to thank you for the call. We're out of time this segment. I appreciate
you
your call.
Your time.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I'm going to get to Jeremiah, who's been patiently waiting over the break. So, Jeremiah, if you hold on, we'll get to you in just a moment there. And I just wanted to mention, too, again, before we get much further in, a reminder that you can check us out at livewithpastoral.com for more information about us or our church, and invitation if you're in Northeast Ohio to visit us for our Christmas Eve candlelight service this Thursday night at 7 o'clock, a meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That information will be given later. You can also find out at our website some of that as well. And our Facebook page, I encourage you to go there. But also wanted to mention East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and you can find them located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5, or if you're outside the area and you'd like to get into the pizza business yourself, and you got to have a great dough recipe and you got to have a great sauce recipe to make a good pizza. If you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, you can ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find them online at eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com, eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com, or you can call them at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program, and we've got Jeremiah, who's been patiently waiting for us tonight. Jeremiah, Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to yes. you.
Thank you for waiting. Sorry to keep you waiting so long.
Yeah, pizza makes me hungry.
Well, hey, I highly recommend it. I had some just last Thursday. So,
do they have specialty pizzas?
Oh, he's got all kinds of pizzas there, and I even saw him make a. And I don't know if this is unique to Northeast Ohio, but I saw him make a corned beef pizza one time. Looked interesting. Yeah. I like corned beef, so you know.
I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and then I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday night, I was just looking out the window, and I looked up in the sky, and I noticed the moon was bigger than usual. And
right.
It was big, and it was kind of hanging kind of low.
Right.
Like really low to the ground,
mm-hmm.
almost. What does that mean?
Well, if you notice, when the moon is higher in the sky, there's really nothing to give reference to it. And here's a trick. It's an optical illusion. It makes it look bigger when it's toward the ground because there's trees and buildings and stuff. If you hold your thumb at arm's length and you look at your thumbnail and compare that to the moon, and if you see it when it looks small, when it's straight overhead sometime, and you hold your arm at arm's length and compare your thumbnail to the moon, and you see that how big it is compared to your thumb, the end of your thumb, if you do that when it looks huge close to the horizon, you'll find out it's the exact same size. It's just an optical illusion because it's close to where you can, your mind is able to have a set of reference because of trees and buildings. But when it's high up in the sky, you don't have that frame of reference. So it looks smaller in the sky, but if you hold your, like I said, hold your arm out at arm's length, hold your thumb up and look at your thumbnail compared to the moon. And in both cases, in fact, you can do it the same night. You see it real huge on the horizon. It looks giant. And you hold your thumb up there and you'll see how small it is compared to your thumbnail. And then when it gets up way in the sky and it looks smaller, and you hold your arm out again, and it'll be the same size in relation to your thumbnail.
I see.
It's kind of a neat thing. It really is. I encourage people to look up at the night sky. Most people walk around at night and they never look up. And there's so many fascinating things that you can see.
Also, I kind of wonder if the moon follows you and the sun does too.
Well, perspective-wise, it seems to, because it's just so far away compared to the things on the horizon that are much, 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 much closer compared to the location of the sun and the moon. So if you ever look at like a triangle, you know, the relation of the point, the far point of the triangle, as you go down one side, you know, it's always, you know, it would seem to follow you if you went down the side, but it's always the same distance and in the same perspective where the things closer up, you know, seem to move more. So,
yeah, I have my King James Bible open mm-hmm. to book of Colossians chapter 3, uh-huh. verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 16.
All righty.
Is it okay if I read it?
Yeah, I'm just getting turned over there. Go ahead.
There's a star next to mine. I guess it's prophecy fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 16 says, the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. That's what we ought to be doing. A lot of times, even when things are going bad, you know, you'll improve your outlook. You'll improve your ability to be a witness for the Lord if you're doing the things that you just read there in verse 16, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But unfortunately, what we end up doing is we mope about and we get discouraged and depressed and we forget, hey, guess what? Christ is still on the throne, like you read there in verse 1, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. What's that?
I like reading the book of Psalms. I usually... I've been to the Book of Psalms so many times. I read it so many times, and
it's very rich.
I usually read like 10 chapters a day.
Yeah,
10 chapters a day.
Yeah, I'm actually at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. I'm actually preaching through the Book of Psalms on Sunday nights. We just did Psalm 53 tonight, and that's the one that along with Psalm 14 starts out in verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And we always joke that that's the one for April Fool's Day, but
right now I'm reading the Book of Isaiah, and also mm-hmm. I'm also reading the Book of Acts. I have a bookmark at the mm-hmm. section of the Isaiah and also the section yeah. of Acts.
I'm actually preaching through the Book of Acts on Sunday morning right now. We're halfway through Acts chapter 11, so
I read all those three chapters, you know, mm-hmm. in the Book of Psalms, and then I read. Chapters of Isaiah and Acts.
Now, you actually bring up a good point there, and let me just elaborate on that a little bit, because I like to encourage people to read the Bible, and at the risk of getting ahead of myself, next week after Christmas, when we're, you know, the New Year's and you know celebration and all coming up, I want to touch on this idea of reading through the Bible. And what you said actually is a very good point. You know, reading different portions of Scripture at different times, I think has a lot of value, because I have a section that I read where I read five chapters and I alternate Old and New Testament books. You know, like, for instance, if you start with the book of Genesis and then when you finish that, you go to the book of Matthew. And then when you finish that, you go to the book of Exodus. When you finish that, you go to the book of Mark and so on and so forth. And because of the differing numbers of books in Old and New Testament, I've read it that way long enough that I've read the book of Genesis, for instance, in conjunction with every single book of the New Testament. And that I like that because it allows me to compare the New Testament fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures much more readily than starting at Genesis and reading all the way through to Malachi before I ever get to Matthew. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. I just like doing that. But in addition to do that, I like to read some of the Psalms every day and also a selection from, I have another section for Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, and read from that every day. And I think when people can, you know, have a planned reading through the Bible and also throw in some of these other things, it really will help in your spiritual growth.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So you sound like you have a good reading plan there. And,
yeah, I definitely do. And sometimes I look in the back of my Bible and look at the coordinates, tropical coordinates, and read some of the verses, subjects that are back on the back of the Bible.
Yeah, and it's always good to read some of the Psalms just about every day if you can. It's like the old pastor said when he was called at 2 a.m. by a parishioner who couldn't a member of his church who couldn't sleep well, and he said, "Take 2 Psalms and call me in the morning." So
yeah, basically God has answers to all your questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's he has answers.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for the call, and Merry Christmas to you. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Last week, I mentioned something that I wanted to remember to get to talk to tonight as well while we got a chance between callers here. The question of the Christmas tree. This is a, if you'll pardon the pun, this is a perennial question that comes up. The Christmas tree. Should a Christian have a Christmas tree or not? And there's a lot of objections to Christmas trees, and it usually boils down to Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, there's some other reasons that people come up with as an objection, but more often than not, eventually you'll get to Jeremiah chapter 10. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, there's a passage here, and let's see, starting in verse number 3, the Bible says, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." And people will point to that and say, well, isn't that what we do at Christmas time? We cut a tree out of the forest, and it's fastened with nails. We have a stand or something that keeps it from moving, from falling over, so it can stand upright. And we deck it with silver and gold, don't we? You know, the ornaments and stuff that you put on it. That surely must be the Christmas tree. Well, that's really an error in the understanding of the passage there. That's taking that out of context. And this is where we have to be careful. When you take something out of context, it can become a pretext, and you can make things say things that they really don't mean. Because let's look at this a little bit more, a little closer here. As we continue reading, and we saw it a little bit already in verse number 5 there. This is in Jeremiah chapter 10. In verse 5, it says, "They are upright as the palm tree." This is the tree that they bring out of the forest. It says, "They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." Now, this gives us a clue as to what's going on here in this passage. And after this, he begins saying this in verse 6, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish." Now notice what it says here in verse 8. "But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities." Now, it doesn't say the stork, it says the stock. Now, the stock, what the stock is, this is what we would call a block of wood or a log. What the tree is that they're talking about here is they cut the tree out of the forest. They lop off all the branches. They skin the bark off from it. It's the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. And then they have this stock. That's a lot different than the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree, how many people are going to want a Christmas tree where you've cut off all the branches and it's just a log on a log standing up in your room? Now, my cats would love it. We have cats at our house, and they would love it as a scratching post. I mean, they would love it. They'd climb it. That's what they would do. They think it's a tremendous scratching post. But it says the stock is the doctrine of vanities. Now, here's what they mean by decking this tree with silver and gold. Verse 9, "Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz. the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. See, what we're getting a description of here is cutting a tree out of the forest, lopping off the branches, skinning the bark off from it, and then the craftsmen, the workmen, fashion this into an idol, into the shape of whatever shape their god is going to be. For instance, remember the Philistines with Dagon, the fish god, and they had this idol. It was fashioned from a log, basically, and it had a fish-like shape to it. If you want to get a good idea, probably, of what it looked like, if you've ever seen when they do their things at, like, at Easter and Christmas, and you see the Roman Catholic cardinals, and you see their hats, the shape of their hat, you know how it kind of opens up? If you look at it from the side, it looks like a fish mouth. And that's a shape that's very similar to what the statue of Dagon, the fish god, probably looked like. And they take silver that they hammer it out into plates, and then they take that silver and they hammer it onto that wood, and they silver plate that into the shape of, for instance, Dagon, the fish god, to shape the scales and the eyes and the mouth and then all of these things that the wood has been cut in the shape of. And then they put gold, it says, and that's hammered out and that's layered on. And sometimes they take some cloth, blue and purple and things like that, cloth that they wrap around it and dress it up with. And they're fashioning an idol here. And that's why up in verse number 5, it said, they speak not. And it said, be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. It's not a god. It's a hunk of wood that's been decorated with silver and gold and blue and purple cloth. That's what they're talking about here. And in contrast to that, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 10, it says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to hide his indignation. And so this is the one true God. This is the one that made everything. It goes on to talk about God and his creation of the heavens and the earth and all that. This is in a contradiction or a contrast, I should say, to the idol that was fashioned out of the log of that tree that they cut out of the forest. In fact, in verse 14, it says, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. And it goes on there and elsewhere to talk about idolatry and the sin of idolatry. And I've not been in too many homes where they had a Christmas tree where they stripped off all the branches, all the bark, and carved it into the shape of a fish or an eagle. Or if you think about this, the totem poles that the American Indians had, or that you see up in Alaska and some of the areas of Alaska where people would carve these fantastical figures out of a log, and they'd have it up there, and they would sometimes represent gods or things to of that village or of those people, and tribal gods or things like that. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. And they would decorate them with paint and stuff. And here in Jeremiah's day, they would decorate them with silver plate and gold plate and expensive blue and purple clothing or cloth that they put around it. And they would bow down to these things and make offers or offerings to them and offer up prayers to them. That's what was going on here in Jeremiah. This is not a Christmas tree. This is an idol. This is quite a bit different. But on the surface, if you just read verses 3, 4, and 5, it might sound like a Christmas tree. And I think every new Christian is bound to encounter this at some point. And most of these difficult things like this, if you put them in context and you begin to read and cross-reference some of these things, you'll begin to make sense of this. And that's why, as I said to our previous caller, it's good to read different parts of the Scripture and bounce around a little bit, because as you do, you begin to understand some of the things that are talked about, and it really can help you avoid some of the difficulties that people run into with false interpretations, misinterpretations of things. And so if you don't have any problem with having a Christmas tree in your house, by all means, enjoy it. But we remember, the Christmas tree is not who died for you. The Christmas tree is a tradition, it's a celebration, but it shouldn't take away from the fact that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that we are supposed to celebrate at this time of the year. If the Christmas tree helps your family celebrate Christmas and enjoy a time of getting together, and it gives you an opportunity to share the Christmas or the birth of Christ, we call that the Christmas story, with your family, and the giving of gifts and presents and things at Christmas is an opportunity for you to express your love one for another, and it reminds you of the greatest gift that was given, which was the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ when he went upon the cross to shed his blood as he died to pay for our sins. If we can use Christmas to point people to Christ, it's a tremendous thing. We had a caller last week that said that she likes to, when somebody says Merry Christmas, to say Maranatha, and remind them of the Bible saying Maranatha, and it gets their attention so that she can talk to them about Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. But likewise, by the same token, if having a Christmas tree in your home causes you problems, you're not under any obligation to have a Christmas tree. If it's going to cause you to stumble or have difficulty, then that's fine. It's up to you. We have freedom in Christ. That we're not bound by some of these things, such as they were under the laws in the Old Testament. But by the same, and again, let me remind you, the Christmas tree is certainly not an idol in the sense that we read in Jeremiah chapter 10. People can make it an idol. Let me not be naive. Some people can make it an idol. And for some people, Christmas revolves around the Christmas tree, and that can be a danger. Christmas revolves around the presents that you're going to get, or Christmas revolves around the presents that you give. And it shouldn't. That is a danger. That is a danger. But if we remember who we celebrate at Christmas time, or maybe I should say why we celebrate Christ at Christmas time, it's because he represents the single greatest gift that was ever given. It's the gift of salvation that we have through Christ and through none other. The Christmas tree isn't going to get you there. The church isn't going to get you there. This radio program isn't going to get you there. Only Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, God took on the form of a man, dwelt among us, as the Bible tells us, willingly went to the cross where he suffered and died and shed his blood to purchase our salvation. He was buried. He rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. If you'll confess your sin and acknowledge before a holy God that you've sinned and that, yes, you deserve the wages of sin, which is death, but that you believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sin, you can have the forgiveness of sin, and you could receive the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior at this Christmas time. What better way to celebrate Christmas than by embracing the gift that God has given? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me wish you a Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.
You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.